Support for The Andrew Haynes Show is brought to you by LiveSource, the premier app for auctions at live events. LiveSource is an online auction and raffle platform that allows your fans and supporters to bid and buy from their phones and computers from anywhere. LiveSource cannot be simpler or more effective, which is why more than 300 professional and collegiate sports teams and thousands of charities and athletes utilize their services to generate revenue and collect data. If you sign up with LiveSource now, you will benefit from their lowest possible pricing and they'll waive their upfront fees. You can email them at hello@livesourceapp.com. That's hello, H-E-L-L-O, at livesourceapp.com. Hello and welcome back to The Andrew Haynes Show. In today's episode, we sat down with Hans Steinbrenner, the president of the Lakeland Magic of the NBA's G League. Hans started his career as a basketball manager for the Utah Utes while attending college there. Following his graduation, he launched his career with the Idaho Stampede and later worked for the Austin Spurs and Wisconsin Herd of the G League. In 2019, he stepped into his current role with the Magic and has been leading their successful organization ever since. Here's his story. We hope you enjoy.
All right, well, we're back for another show today, and I've got a great guest. He is president of the Lakeland Magic G League team, which I'm a huge fan of the G League and been to some Lakeland Magic games, so it's kind of cool to have our guest. His name's Hans Steinbrenner. How's it going, Hans?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing good, man. Thanks for joining me. You're right down the street, which is cool. I've been to the RP Funding Center a ton of times. I was at the initial press conference when the team was coming. So it's kind of exciting to have you on. I had Steve from up in Greensboro in the league, you know, on a few weeks back, a few months maybe. So it's kind of cool. Your background is really cool. And you've really been able to do a lot in such a short period of time. And it's cool. I'd love to be able to share that with our listeners and kind of start off with, you know, where you're from and kind of where your passion for sports came and your journey.
Sure. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Yeah. So I'm originally from Boise, Idaho. I loved sports just from kind of a sports background with my dad playing college ball. He played basketball, football, baseball, and was essentially the starting positions for point guard, quarterback, pitcher at a very small college in Minnesota. And so I think he was such a competitor that really drove me that I couldn't even beat him in high school when he was in his 40s. So that definitely kind of kept the urge up. But no, it was fun, just a lot of college athletics and kind of getting into the background. Boise State football, I mean, that was unbelievable, and the Cinderella moments and the underdogs and just kind of work your butt off and see if you can upend, you know, the system that's already there. So I don't know. It was just kind of always a fun background and kind of where we were at.
Did you play football as well?
I played football. I was not very good at it. I was a tight end and defensive end, played 1 year in high school. I was much better at basketball. They convinced me to come out for 1 year in my sophomore year. And just basically, I was able to high five people and try to stay as warm as possible as I was still doing open gyms and basketball when they kind of probably told me I shouldn't be doing that if I was going to focus on football. That wasn't where my true love lied. So it was just kind of another placeholder there.
So how did your, you know, high school basketball go? I mean, were you a standout there? Were you, you know, I know that you had mentioned you, you know, tried out for the college team. So
yeah. So it's kind of a funny story. I wasn't for my class. I was probably the best player that we had, but, for my school, but from a standpoint of kind of, I had my growth spurt way early. I was always the tallest kid. And then when I got to high school, everybody caught up to me. So, I capped out at 6'4", 6'5", as a freshman, sophomore. I could dunk in middle school, but I only ever learned how to be the center and box people out and go get the rebounds, block shots. So those pieces I was good at. But the moment it became that there was people that were my height that could dribble much better, shoot, that was probably kind of the end of my road. But thankfully in Boise, my height was able to still be center. So I played on varsity for 3 years. started a little bit of my junior year, all of my senior year. And really was just kind of a defensive guy, would set screens, go rebound, and took pride in trying to guard the best player, whether it was a post guy or wing. If it got to be a guard point, then that wasn't me. I wasn't quick enough, but I was the garbage. All the points were in garbage time or garbage rebounds, just put it right back up. Otherwise, I knew who our shooters were and everybody
got
else.
The ball.
play my role. But then the Utah transition was interesting because I got an academic scholarship. I had a classmate of mine who's a teammate, a year older than me. He's currently working with the Phoenix Suns, actually. Alex Hardman, he convinced me, as he was a manager for the University of Utah men's basketball team, and he said, you got to try out, when I got there as a freshman, which I had not, I want to say I didn't pick up a ball, but I was nowhere in shape. And he's like, we are having kind of a down year. We're going to do, walk-on tryouts, and you should definitely come participate. And so I took all of 2 days after he told me to try the best I could to get in shape, which did not work. But I think just my more so my attitude, I think I was just engaging with coaches, but I wasn't trying to be like butter you up or do anything like that. I was just asking questions. And like when they'd be like, yeah, hey, we're going to do this, I'm like, yeah, no problem. And when they told me I didn't have a left hand, I was like, nope, I definitely knew that. That wasn't a surprise. So I think based on size, and then they just needed a body to bully people around at Utah at that point in time. They asked me if I kind of wanted to just be a practice player and not just be a manager, really. Like, even practice player is a nice title that I probably really didn't have. It was just kind of be out, mingle with the big bodies, play defense. If someone got hurt, Hans, you're on scout team real quick, and be like, all right, cool. And it was just kind of a fun opportunity that took me two different coaches, two different conferences, and just kind of 4 years of really just fun travel.
So when you were in school, did you kind of have an idea of the career path you wanted? Were you just kind of still trying to figure it out?
To be honest, it was truly a lot of figuring out. I wanted to be a doctor, and Utah had a good med school program. So that's kind of when the academics and everything aligned. And I was like, all right, I'm not good enough to play D1 sports. This is what I'm doing. I very quickly found out that my stomach and bodily fluids from an EMT standpoint were not going to mix. So I reverted to what kind of got me in the academic spot, which was mathematics. And truly, I just kind of figured I would go as far and as fast as I could with a skill set that I thought was unique and maybe a desire amongst a lot of different, I guess, employers and whatnot at the time. But I was enjoying the basketball piece so much and truly like working with Larry Kuskoviak and his crew really kind of had me fall in love with. I mean, I was always in love with basketball, but to be underneath that kind of crew and that leadership, 1 year with Boylan, 3 years with Larry, it was a fun chance that when I graduated in 3 years, which is not a credit to smartness, is just more I worked through summers and had a bunch of concurrent credits in AP and whatnot. But it was like, do I go get a job or go for master's? And I was like, well, I'll just go for master's and just try to keep, like, while I'm working with the basketball team, maybe something will pan out. And I mean, we might get here in a second, but that's actually what kind of jumped me from not finishing my master's to the NBA G League. But I really didn't figure it out, and I changed paths, as I'm sure we'll walk through. And you saw that. I don't know if I ever had it figured. I don't know if I have it figured out right now, Mr. Yeah, Andrew. I'm just kind of.
I mean, that's how I feel sometimes, and I'm a lot older than you. So, it's like you know, the one thing is just, you know, you figure out what your passion is, and it, you know, it seems like that, you know, just, you know, from talking to you a little bit, is that, you know, you're in that, which is good, you know, and that's key. Cause you never, I always say, I never feel like I worked, you know, yeah. Even though you work a million hours and, you know, a lot of hard stuff, but when you're doing what you love, you don't really think about it like that.
For sure. No, yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think, I don't know, something for me, and this is jumping off the basketball path, but like even when I was kind of doing odd end jobs, produce, fast food, like if you're working with good people and you kind of have that passion to like, hey, I always just had the vibe of how do we become more efficient. And better, and you know, what can we do to, I guess, improve as we're having fun together. I'm going to steal this from Steve Brandis. If you ever have him on the show, I definitely coin this from, but just be a sponge and just soak up everything from any avenue and anything I could kind of sink my teeth in. But yeah, definitely the passion piece makes it very, very easy.
So when you were when you were getting towards the tail end of, you know, the college career, at what point did you kind of start looking at, you know, the G League or that opportunity? Was that just kind of like, hey, I'm going back home, and you know, that happened to be there?
Yeah. So funny story again, was I feel very, very blessed and just kind of taking, you know, what's there in front of you. But, I had one more year left of masters that I was going to do for statistics, at Utah. We had the Huntsman Center, our building was underneath, a bunch of construction. So we weren't able to do summer camps. So I wasn't going to have any gainful employment during that time. Wasn't gonna have any school because master's classes, at least the one I was in, there wasn't gonna be anything for the summer. So I went back home with something I probably should have pre-prepped and planned earlier, with a internship. And I talked to Larry, Coach Kshovak, and he said that his first head coaching gig was with the Idaho Stampede. He knew the ownership group still there, Bill Islett, and the president, Steve Brandis, after just kind of connecting with Bill, he said, go, you know, come back over here. We'll have you do odds and ends, and we'll work you into what at the time and what the G League was. I don't say a lot of at that time, but you probably know too, like there was 13, I think there's 13, investors, and he was the managing one. And we had people from Micron and HP and all this other stuff. So it was like, okay, I'm for sure going to probably sneak in with somebody around here. If basketball doesn't fall through, right, I'll be able to do, you know, engineering or hopefully, you know, just make connections and kind of understand and learn from that. So in all honesty, I was told to go be Steve Brandis's kind of intern and help in the sales department in any sort of way for a summer until I figured out what that next step was. But then Steve is an amazing human being, and I learned a lot from him, not only in that year and then what became of my next job, but then kind of in the future of my career that, it's not that I didn't want to go back. I just got an opportunity, from a sales intern position, and just kind of, I would work at the office just until, he could go home and see his kid. Like, it was just fun to hang out with him, and he made everything so fun that, you know, me as a 23-year-old, I think, and all my friends were still at whatever university or, you know, they're doing summer classes. It's like, all right, do I go home and play video games, or do I help Steve, you know, for however many extra couple hours, knock out projects? And he gives me the inside scoop on, you know, when we used to be with the Raptors, Jazz, and Nuggets all at the same time, and what that was like, and hybrid systems. And I think a lot of my growth and development behind just kind of back, you know, the G League Ops manual, the back inner workings of the league, and just kind of the growth stuff was just from asking questions and just being around. So that was kind of the path from college into that. And then we had just transitioned. I think I was only there a week that we were with the Trailblazers before we went to the Jazz when they signed kind of their hybrid deal. And the director of basketball operations for the Idaho Stampede, when we were Blazers affiliated, he decided that that wasn't something he wanted to continue doing. At that point in time, the way it was built, Steve and Bill wanted a local, person that could do the numbers and keep everything in check from travel and could budget, but also could do all the, travel coordinating, the Adidas, allotments, the liaison, like all kind of all the odds and ends, but knew a little bit of basketball. And I was like, hey,
that's me. Right here.
Yeah. I'm from Boise, and I didn't know where the D League at the time was going, but knowing a little bit from just some of the new teams and what Steve was saying about how teams are at some point going to get 30-30 and where there's gonna be some growth, and at that time I think there's only 16 teams, I was like, man, I don't know. I mean, I went from student manager / video coordinator, I guess, kind of, to director of basketball ops in the NBA G League, and you get, you know, kind of the interconnections of people, and I won't give the inner workings of different teams and what we were at the time, which is now defunct, but It was not for a lot of money, but I definitely was like, this is at least the experiences.
You're that getting the skills it. Though.
Yeah. So I jumped both feet in and said, I'll be home and spend, you know, a lot of time with my family until I know what that next step is, and had a good conversation with Coach Kuchowiak and their crew. And they said, hey, if you ever come back, you're more than welcome here, which meant the world to me. So I thought, why not take a chance? And then, you know, I still have the math background, the math degree, and potentially statistics to jump back into too, if that didn't end up working out. So that was kind of the jump into.
You always had a little bit of a safety net almost, like, hey, I've got this other career I could do.
That was the thought. If sports wasn't going to work out, I was hoping that I had something in my back pocket, but you know, still there in case things go awry. I'll have to dust out those calculus books and figure out if they still apply or if there's any new things. Well,
the math is different now. I don't know if you learned the new math or the old math like I did, but you probably got the new math. So,
well, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Hopefully I'll never have to learn that.
So where did you go after you were with the Stampede?
I was with the Stampede for two seasons, director of basketball ops, underneath Dean Cooper, who, he taught me a lot on the coaching end, and, a great teacher, great human, and kind of went 2 years on that path. And as the transition was happening to Salt Lake City, after the Jazz purchased, I was still as a part of the basketball staff that was all kept intact. The business side was absorbed. But after kind of getting things teed up and situated and working with the then president, Bart Sharp, in Salt Lake City, I got a call from Phil Cullen, who was our director of basketball operations at the University of Utah and was my boss for 2 years, 3 years maybe, when I was in school. And he got taken by the San Antonio Spurs. And I remember asking at the time, I was like, so what's your position? That's so cool. Growing up, San Antonio Spurs, Tim Duncan, he was my role model. I loved watching them, Popovich, and just kind of the way they played, you know, team ball. And he's like, honestly, I don't know my position. They just, RC Buford saw kind of the work that we were doing with this new facility. And we had talked, and he just said, I'll find something for you. And so I really trusted her. And I loved that. I was like, the Spurs just seemed, you know, like a good family organization, a good business organization through and through. And so when he picked up the phone, gave me a call and was like, hey, would you want to come work for me again? It'd be further removed. I'm going to be in San Antonio. You're going to be in Austin, but you know, it's a good organization. And not that the Jazz weren't, but in kind of the move from Idaho and when things were a little bit spread out, it was like, okay, going from Boise to, you know, maybe a little bit closer in the Austin world with the Spurs and kind of being involved with the actual NBA preseason and training camp and being able to be behind those curtains, which wasn't necessarily super open to us at the time when we were still kind of a little bit distanced and not true, or at least I wasn't a true Jazz employee. I was more, you know, the Bill Eilert, Steve Brandis business end. It just seemed like a good opportunity. So I went down and moved to Austin for a season.
How's that city? I heard that's a pretty cool city.
It's a great city. I loved it. I loved it probably too much. It was great. There's a lot of things to do. And I was at the point where I went from traveling with the team. I mean, I had a lot of responsibilities and a lot of similar responsibilities, but when the team was on the road, it was mostly just watch the game, clip it. And then I didn't have any family. There wasn't anything around. So I got to see a lot of Austin. I really love it. There's a lot of good stuff down there, but, I got more than my one season's worth and however long I was down there, but it was cool. It was a good spot.
So at that point in your career, are you thinking you're going to be more, you know, on the basketball side? Cause it seems like, you know, your career, you've kind of been on both sides, you know, mm-hmm. business and basketball. Was that kind of where your head was, you know, was moving or?
Yeah, honestly, when I was with the Jazz and the Stampede, I was more kind of on, like, there was a lot of scouting, plus there's a lot of coaching. So it was like, okay, I could go either way in the front office or the coaching realm. I loved them both. They both had their perks and kind of their own intrigue and what was fun. When I went to the Spurs, there was still a lot of scouting, but it was mostly jumping straight into the coaching realm. So I had a lot of the similar roles. My title changed into mostly just video coordinator. but I loved that aspect. And I enjoyed clipping film, seeing guys and seeing how we could get that competitive edge. So I was on the full track of coach and whatever the next step was in Austin. I was hoping at one point to crack the film room in San Antonio and learn from some of those guys that were down there and now assistant coaches in Charlotte and all over. Yeah. So that was my thought at the time. But then I got a fateful call from Mr. Steve Brandis, which seemed too good to pass up at the time.
And so you went from Austin to where is the herd based? Because it's up there.
Yeah, it's so Oshkosh, Wisconsin's about an hour and a half north of Milwaukee, about in central Wisconsin. It's an hour south, 40 to an hour south of Green Bay. I went from experiencing my first ever winter in Texas, which was awesome. Standing on board, and Steve likes to tell me that he convinced me to come to the dark side and jump into the business end of sports. So he convinced me that I could still kind of keep my pulse on the basketball end and help with just kind of the launch of the team and anybody that needed anything on the operation front. But then, hey, you're going to be doing game production, controlling the six man, you know, like you might not be getting the X and O's, but you're going to make this place inaudible. People are going to have to struggle to figure out. I was like, okay, I see where you're maybe going for this. You're pulling on some of my competitive juices. But I just loved working with them so much. And, it just seemed like a great opportunity, to kind of explore even deeper on the business side of things and sales and activation and everything else like that. But,
was that the first season for them?
Yep. Yep. Okay. So I went, June of 2017, and our first game at Menominee Nation Arena was December 1st of 2017.
Nice.
So kind of got to see that thing off and running. And
cause that was under construction still, right? Like that was like, you know, it was kind of went up right until the 11th hour.
It was after. Yeah. It was very interesting. So we, unfortunately, the month of November, so we missed three home games. We had to go play at the Bradley Center at the time. But it was crazy because I remember papers, Herculean effort, that all the construction, everybody, because the Bucks, the G League, like everything was kind of on, like, we need to get the bid. And as soon as they're like, okay, we're going, they're like, okay, I guess we got, you know, and I'm sure it's the spring in Wisconsin, which there's still snow on the ground. So I'm sure all these things are kind of going to like, all right, we got to put this thing in motion. But I remember, boy, I'm telling you, the scariest, it was, I don't know, it was one of those things you just kind of laugh at, but I remember it was Ted Lorke, who has been around the NBA for a while, and he's now with Notre Dame, and Steve Brandis and myself, and we're sitting in a building that is yet to get, I can't even think of the word right now, but basically it's certified so that you can actually have fans in the building, right, or anybody in the building. And it's like, okay, in 2 days, we've got to have, concessions come through and okay that. They're putting in the final bleachers or whatever else. And I hadn't been able, like, actually legally to be in there to put any sort of video graphics, test any of the sound system, do anything on that.
No game day walkthrough.
No, none, zero. And in addition to that, the whole entire, like, the court, maybe the court was down, but everything, you couldn't hear anything. So it was like, all right. And they turned to me and they're like, the owner of the building was like, we can do this, believe me. And I remember Ted asking Steve, and Steve's like, and they both looked at me and were like, can we do this in 2 days? Because if, like, just to say the doors are open, like, that doesn't work. Because then if the fans come in for opening night and they're like, oh, this was awful.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we couldn't pull anything off.
So you only got that one chance to make that first impression.
Yeah. We treated everything like every game was opening night. And you had to treat it like, to your point, everybody there is going to be brand new and has to be a different experience and everything else. But I just remember that first. Yeah, they asked me and were like, can we do it? And I was like, I'm not going to be the one that tells us that we can't go on December 1st and push more, so let's do it. And I at least pulled one all-nighter. It was probably the worst walkthrough that we could have ever seen. Steve, he had a lot of comments for me. it was interesting. Thankfully, the game was a 180 from what our walkthrough was, but it was incredible. It was fun. I wouldn't change it for the world because it's a great experience, but crazy.
In a world where people are more aware and plugged in than ever, it's not enough to just have a great product. Consumers are looking for brands they can relate to. That's where Egghead Creative comes in. Everything they do is powered by deepening the connection with your brand. And every time you do business with them, they'll build a bespoke team of highly specialized creatives designed specifically around what you need. For more information, visit eggheadcreativestudio.com. That's eggheadcreativestudio.com. Or follow them on Instagram at eggheadcreativestudio. Now back to the show.
The thing I always tell people too is like, you know, opening day, you know, especially for a new team and just, you know, game day in general, it's like sometimes we get so stressed out about it. We want it to be perfect and we do, we want it to be perfect for fans. There's usually a screw up or two, but most of the time, nobody has a clue except for internally. And I used to get so worked up even on that stuff. And I was like, I'm trying to get, trying to mellow out a little bit as I'm getting a little older now, but I used to just stress about that stuff so much. And it's like, look, can only control what we can control, do the best that we can, put the effort, be as prepared as we can. And if something happens, then adjust as quickly as possible and keep going.
Yeah. No, you hit the nail on the head. And I think game production is so fun. It's fun. It's stressful. It's funny because you sit here and you have every single minute teed up. You have every single this board, that board, Encore MC, the talent that's coming up here. And everything is like, this is what's going to happen. But you're saying that to a game that is so random. Like, you don't know who's going to score when, what's going to happen. A coach could call a timeout in 10 seconds and be like, oh, we need to be on the floor. That was not what, you know. And so to your point, I mean, Steve had to work with me on this one too, because I would beat myself up over like the littlest things. And he's like, nobody knew any of those things. Like, right. It's good that you're focusing on like trying to always get better, yep. But then also like take it for what it's worth. Enjoy the little things. Enjoy the moment.
Right.
Everyone here had fun. They're going to come back.
Yeah.
And then, but it also helped me just kind of adapt to like truly like the most unknown. Like it's pivot. Like it's a perfect basketball term, but we say it all the time. It's just something would happen. It's like, and it could be a really good thing. Like our team just went on a 10-0 run and let's cue music and we're stopping everything else. And we'll do that another time. Or
right.
Oh boy, this is bad. How do we hide the fact that like we're not looking super hot right now?
Right. No, it's, you know, that's kind of what I love about the business though, is you constantly, you have to be ready to pivot at any time. And no matter how prepared you are, stuff happens out of our control. And so I know we're jumping a little bit ahead, but so you're kind of doing that role, you know, in Wisconsin, and then you come down to Lakeland and the president of the team here has got a lot of experience in, you know, game day and presentation stuff. Like, did you get involved with that down here when you first got here?
No. Well, yes and no. The yes is by mistake or not by design, and kind of being one of those pivot. But no, Erin Hayes has done an amazing job, and she's been with Shelly for, I'm going to get it wrong, but I think maybe 2 years prior to taking the job as director of game production or game operations here in Lakeland. But really the only reason I ever did it once was because she was very ill. Like, I think she probably had the worst flu, and she said she wasn't able to get out of bed. I remember she called me at like 4:30 in the morning. It was like, hey, I can't be there today. Can you do it? I can do it. Yes. I'm not going to do it as good as you've been doing, but I will rely on your team and whatever script you got, and we will. So, I mean, I'm just reading cue cards of what, right. You know, a little bit different format than what I was used to, but, you know, having Shelly there and all of her experience in game production, plus then Aaron's, I mean, it wasn't a hard, and the crew that she runs and oversees does an amazing job. So it wasn't a hard task. So the answer should have been no, I didn't oversee or have any positive or any interaction with game production, but really it was just a one game fill in. And we were very happy to see her back I think it was the very next day or 2 days later, doing an amazing job. So.
So what kind of stuff were you learning up in Wisconsin? I mean, you're back with Steve again. Like, was he kind of, I mean, would you consider him like a mentor to you? Was he just a good leader that you learned a lot from?
No, Steve's for sure a mentor, leader, one of my really good friends. I've known him. I worked for him for 4.5 years in 2 different states, and in between we'd be talking and figuring out like he he was curious what Austin was doing when, you know, he wasn't necessarily when he was doing but he was just doing groundwork for actually the Bucks on the other end. He was working with Joe Wolf to potentially get the Bucks to go to Sheboygan with the herd at the time. So, I mean, I've really learned a lot from him. And again, to his point of just being a sponge, like I would sit down and just ask him, like, what are we doing here? Teach me marketing. And I had nothing to do with marketing. It was just like, I'm very curious on why would we do this or why would we do this versus that? And I think the role that he had provided for me, to start up there was basically game production, sponsorship activation, which means I was in every department to some extent, right? Like, if someone's got a public address read or someone's got a, something on social or digital, like I have to work with the marketing department or community relations and figure out how we're doing a mascot appearance. So I think a lot of that helped me just develop relationships and ask, like, how did that person get there? And what was the concept behind why we did this school visit versus that school visit, and, you know, just kind of all that preparations. And so I think he really teed up kind of the back end of it. And then, my title when I first got there was business operations coordinator, and the way he sold it to Milwaukee was like, he's going to do this, a little bit of that. And he's going to do our finance. Like I did our financial reporting. And I was just kind of the stopgap plug. So it's a lot of, trust and ability to just kind of soak up and learn really any and every role, because he's done it all too. His path is, I think, a little bit similar. He had sales, he had game production, a staff of five at one point in Boise. I know he's doing he's doing the PR releases and everything else. So I just kind of took him as a role model and wanted to emulate him a little bit and say, like, hey, at some point, like, I want to be your official number two. And that position was already taken. So then that kind of helped, just in kind of the growth pattern with what opened up here in Lakeland to be Shelley's number two and bring some of the knowledge that I had with, you know, three different teams and, but then pick the mind of someone that, like, from a marketing standpoint, game production, there's pros and cons to every team and where people are at, but like here, light years ahead on, and I shouldn't say it in a bad way, but like they were very, very well done with a video production crew. Yeah. And I remember I oversaw that department. I did not put that much attention to the video production, which is for sure on me. And I was like, okay, this is another class. Like I'm understanding where, you know, things can get better, even in the position I was in.
That's the cool thing about, you know, those opportunities and going to different cities is, you know, it's like, hey, I look at it from my career over the years. It's like my marketing side, it's continued to evolve. And it's like, oh, I learned this over here. I learned that, you know, and so it's kind of, you know, scary at some point, because you were like, man, I thought I was good, but these guys are really good.
yeah. No, absolutely. I thought I was good at game production. And I was like, Aaron Hayes is better at game production with Shelley at the helm. I had the luck of the Wisconsin crowd. And like, what else do you do in the winter? Which all my family's there, and I love all of them. So I'm not even saying that in a bad way. But, you know, we had a lot of support because you couldn't go out to the beach or you couldn't go out.
Yeah. You didn't have all the options we have down here. That's for sure.
Exactly. But go ahead.
So how'd that come about? Like the whole Lakeland opportunity, you're up there, you know, kind of doing a good job.
Yeah. So in the different meetings around with, just kind of game ops meeting, Aaron, I went to a marketing meeting where I met Ashley Foss, who's our director of marketing here at Lakeland. When I first got here, met Shelley at a league meeting. And so I think just a lot of the networking and just kind of understanding where you can get help. I remember calling Shelley, and I had her in my phone from a long time ago when I was trying to just get our operations up and running in Wisconsin and picking her brain. I'm like, hey, what do we need to do and be ready for from game production? In addition to Johnny Watson and what the Bucks had. But it was networking. Plus then, again, probably a funny situation, which we had some openings in Wisconsin. I may have gently asked some of those counterparts that I mentioned about, hey, would you want to come up to the Wisconsin herd? And they said, no, we like Florida very much and the Magic. And I don't blame them. The organization's amazing and, you know, and moves across state when you got family around and everything else like that. I'm probably one of the rare breeds that have been okay bouncing around so many times, which I probably need to stop here at some point. Well, I will stop here at some point. I love Magic. but and Florida's amazing. But yeah, I pinged them. They said, no, unfortunately, you know, not something we're going to ever consider. And I was like, okay, get it. We'll have to look elsewhere. And then later on in the year, they, that same person gave me a shout and was like, hey, I know what position you're at currently, and you've always spoke very highly of Steve. I've always spoke, this being one of my colleagues right now, spoke very highly of Shelly, and we both said like the amazing bosses to work for. And so then she told me, she's like, our vice president's job is open. Do you want me to slide in a good word? Cause I think like we would love to have, like you've made friends with, and we've tried to pick your brain on, you know, the Bar Network season ticket package. And there's enough people that know of you or about you and some different sales things that I've done. And that was another blessing that Steve kind of allowed, was he was like, you can do, like, if you can sell, he basically anybody could sell. As long as they're doing it the right way and they're following the right protocol, he's like, go move numbers and like, let's be, you know, ambassador for the team. So I think some of those things that had maybe just kind of been talked about and around, they just said, we'd love to have somebody with G League experience to oversee kind of all of our sales department and corporate and activation and the different things that you've done from ticket sales and everything else. And Wisconsin, we were blessed to have a pretty good attendance number and season tickets and group. And so just kind of lended its hand into, let's see if we can bring some of those best practices and implement and, you know, just kind of try to figure some of those pieces out. So that's kind of the inner workings. A lot of networking, a lot of just, and it wasn't any intention necessarily. Like I wasn't intending on leaving or truly any of the teams I was ever with. It was just kind of.
Sometimes opportunities present, and especially that, I mean, that's a nice, you know, career progression. And how was Steve with it? I mean, probably like, hopefully bittersweet, maybe.
Bittersweet.
Like, get the hell out of here.
I love Steve. Me and we're good friends. It was, there was a lot of jokes played. He's a jokester. So there's a lot of jokes played where we'd literally be having a staff meeting because we were having opening night coming up, and he's like, no, not you, Hans, not you. Like, and it's like, you're a traitor. You're going to leave. And I'm just like,
sit outside the room.
Yeah. Just let me know what we're going to end up doing for the game presentation that I'm going to be putting on for opening night. But no, he was happy for me. It was a step up in my career, and he knew that was always something that I wanted to do underneath him and with him. So it was just the seat was filled at that point, and there was no reason to do anything at that moment. Which, you know, I'm happy for Wisconsin and the way that everything, and very thankful for everybody there, including him. But I mean, any of the bitter was just mostly on me and him. Probably talk still every day and joke about this. And he still, now he takes credit for running me out of town because I got the opportunity to go up. And, you know, right. Steve.
But I mean, I think too, like, you know, any good leader, it's like, you know, it is bittersweet. It's like, you don't want to lose, you know, kind of like your guy he's been with for two teams and all those years. But at the same time, it's kind of like, I look at it like my kids, like I want to see my kids continue to develop. Okay. Now they're out of college school. Okay, now go out on your own, you know, kind of take that next leap. But even just, you know, people, you know, working with me, it's like, if I don't have that spot for you, you know, I don't expect you to, you know, sit here and not look at other great opportunities. If I was in Wisconsin and they called me like in the winter months, it would be a lot easier of itself to be like, how about we do a weekend interview at least and I'll come down. But
I had never been to Florida before my interview.
Are you serious?
Never been. So I think it was, I got flown out maybe mid-October maybe, which to your point is like, okay, Packers football is going. I know this is right around the corner. I've got my snowblower and everything ready to go. Oh, this is nice. This is a change. And you're saying that this is like the highest temperature it's going to be for the next 5 months. So that was not a bad pitch that they were able to kind of.
So when you came down, vice president, were you of sales operations? Was it just general, you know, number two in line?
It was general number two, but the focus was on sales. So, I mean, again, Shelly's done does an amazing job, in setting everything up, and we've got an amazing team. So really there wasn't any, thing to be mentored or fixed or I would bring ideas or say like, hey, have you ever thought of this to marketing or game production or anything else like that? But truly the position in which I had responsibilities over was sales, both corporate and ticket wise. That's the main piece of it.
On your, cause you've had kind of like a career where you've kind of hit every department. How, like, are you, would you consider yourself more of like a corporate partnership, you know, person, a marketing ticket? Like, is there like a specialty that you have that you say, you know, I'm damn good at this?
No, I would say I'm still learning it at everything. what is it?
That Jack never Walsh, master that of never none. Ran, by the way.
No, I hear you. No, I I don't know. I love game production. I truly like the marketing behind of like, how are we going to get people to come into the stadium, enjoy themselves and get them to come back? How are we going to get them to buy, you know, season tickets as opposed to just a one-off or a couple games here and there, because they know that they enjoyed the atmosphere and then just who they saw from a standpoint of other community and, you know, friends and businesses, but then also, you know, the product that's on the floor as well. So I think the marketing though also helps in the other avenue that I really enjoy, which is kind of puzzles. So like, I love the corporate world of just like, how do I make company X, you know, fit into this great scope of assets and, you know, how do we get you to touch every single thing from digital, social, physical, on site? How do we get ROI? And so like, I like the game of trying to figure out like how it works. And not necessarily the gamesmanship of, you know, the sales piece, but truly like it's a win-win relationship. And,
right.
You know, Andrew, how does your company fit your needs, where like, obviously like we need to make profit and there's revenue to be had tied to the different that we're doing, but we know that there's something that we can squeeze you in given the budget you tell us and kind of play around with that. So I think they have to go hand in hand a little bit, because the other piece too is, you know, we're trying to get that full house to not only to make the puzzle easier, right? Or to make
it. Yeah, you need A to get to B to get to C.
Yeah, exactly. So I think a lot of that's, yeah, but I enjoy probably both of those pretty equally. And then game production is a fun hobby that I shouldn't, I like seeing it. But
you dabble in there?
I enjoy the music piece of it, because I'm a big like, trivia. If you and me were to go to a sports bar, I'd be the first person to try to guess like what the tune is the moment it you know, like those game shows, that'd be something that I'd
right.
like to participate on just to see how I can do.
They play like one note and they get the song right.
I can go
I saw a commercial for that the other day. I was like, what?
It's well, yeah, so that piece of it, that's fun. But from a standpoint of the actual like stress behind mapping every single thing out, those are things that I would very much the stress-free let our game production crew kind of worry about every second of every game, and I can enjoy it and just kind of mingle,
shake hands and kiss babies a little bit,
fans and partners alike.
So I mean, you're with the Magic less than a year and you get the opportunity to be team president, and I mean, it's, how does that happen? I mean, you're still young, you've been, you know, working through, you know, obviously you've been doing some great stuff, but that's not normal. You know, you definitely have, you know, accelerated that. So how did all that come about and how has that transition been for you?
I'm going to apologize because at the very beginning of that, one of us lost connection a little bit.
Okay.
Can you repeat that one more time? Sorry.
Yeah. No. You know, how, you know, you're young, you've been in it a few years, you've been with the team less than a year, and the opportunity to be team president popped up. So how, you know, how did that all come about? And then how has the transition been for you?
So the way it came about was, it was always a timing plan that Orlando was going to have Shelly be back, and she's an amazing leader and they loved her and she's done a lot of great things for them before she came to Lakeland and kind of expanded the brand out this way. So everybody, even when I was interviewing, when I was down here and just kind of explaining to people, like, at some point I'd like to run my own team, and you know, you see opportunities out there and wonder, you know, at what point do you have enough experience to be able to, you know, to go for it, get interviewed to see, you know, what kind of going, you know, it takes time and everything else like that. But in conversations, everyone kept telling me like, hey, because I'd ask like, leaving Steve where I knew he knew my goals and plans and he had my best interest. It was like, okay, if I'm going to leave that, what is the future here? We never mapped anything out. We never said like, oh, in X amount of time, this is what you'll do. But it just in kind of just general conversations, I think the vibe was at some point, Shelly will be back here. So when that is the case, maybe there's something for you here. We don't know. And it's like, yeah, that's fine. Fair enough for
me. Dangle that carrot for me, darn it.
No, I mean, it really, again, nothing with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was happy about it. I mean, I was very grateful just to get hired in the VP spot with that knowledge of like, hey, she will probably be going back to Orlando at some point in time. Again, nobody point blank told me, but in the back of my mind, I'm like,
do a good job, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would assume that they would at least discuss with me or I'd be in the running for what could be a president's job if it was to open up. So, that was kind of my knowledge base going in. And then, the wild summer in which we just experienced, I think it accelerated and changed a lot of things in every, industry and different teams and paths. And so I think, it was always going to happen for Shelly. And I don't know if it caught her off guard, if it caught anybody off guard, but it definitely caught me off guard when she gave me the call. I was like, oh, you're going to Orlando. And then she just kind of, I mean, I was very excited, very grateful, but it definitely caught me off guard when she asked if I wanted to do it and that they saw the opportunity and belief in me. Very grateful, very blessed, extremely humbled. From your second part of your question, it's been interesting being a first team president my first time being a team president in kind of this.
Yeah, a little bit of a issue out there right now.
Yeah, just kind of problem solving, more or less. Yeah. A lot of truly the word that we used in pivoting earlier, I cannot tell you, and you can ask our staff how many times I've used that because it's like I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. Nobody knows what tomorrow's going to hold.
No. So. How has it been? I mean, because, you're kind of, in that position now. And, so how do you be that leader when there isn't, like, people aren't in the office every day? And, that has to bring some challenges for you, too, is just, not being together and not being able to do a lot of the stuff because of COVID.
Yeah, I think it's just a lot of communication, trust. You can't, I mean, it was easy at the time to be able to look over to, seven different people and say quickly like, hey, is anyone doing this? And can we do X, Y, and Z? Or see progress in something and say, hey, before you get too far, I've got an idea or something sparks. But it's been fine. It's been, our staff's been doing a great job. They've been staying busy. They've been very productive. Great ideas and motivated. I think it's just building the confidence with them and saying like, hey, it stinks that we're not all here together right now. We're working on figuring out what that looks like and what it's going to end up being. But we know you're doing a good job and we believe in you. So here's the task, here's the end goal, and we'll check in on you. And I'm an open, like, even just because you can't see that I'm not doing anything, please give me a call, text, or email. Like I'm going to be there for you. We can talk through any of these things. And the same is going to be for you. Like, sometimes when you get that phone call, and I don't say like ever in this realm, I hope. But in different times, you get that phone call from your boss, and you're like, oh, but now in the realm of like everybody's working remotely, it's like you get the call and you're like, hey, I know this is something that like we got to probably deal with. This is just now a standard, just mode of operations. So I think just the communication piece is huge right now.
And then how is it with the G League now? Like, is there plans to potentially play a season this year, or is it just focused on the 2021-22 season?
No, there's plans to play a season. It's just all kind of it's all in the works. Every avenue is kind of being exhausted and figuring out what it's going to end up looking like, with, the players, fans, and coaches' safety first and foremost. So, we're hopeful that we're going to hear something soon and can pivot at that point and figure out what the next, everything that we're going to be moving from it. But there's something in the works that just it hasn't been fully flushed and communicated out to even our end. We're just kind of patiently waiting. Getting ready.
So what is your favorite restaurant in the Lakeland area?
Ooh, so my favorite restaurant is, it's gotta be Harry's. I love the shrimp and grits.
There for lunch a lot. Yeah.
Shrimp and grits at Harry's is something that my staff was giving me a hard time about when I first moved out, because that was basically the only meal I would ever, I always told myself I'm going to try something different. Never do. And have then you almost take a nap after. It's so bad.
Have you ever tried Fred's Market?
No, I have not.
It's like it might not even be open now, but it's a buffet, but like home style cooking. Okay. So that was one we would go to sometimes as a staff, but nobody would work afterwards. So we had to stop that one. And Mongolian Grill. I don't know if that's still open, but Bees? I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that place, I've gone there a few times. That's a dangerous spot. Anything that's got buffet, it's almost like a challenge.
Yeah. And
my competitive nature says you've got to beat the system.
Yeah.
And then you realize that really you lost by doing that.
The first time we went, we all got our things and you throw the meat in the bowl and they'll cook it. And it's like, we thought it was a lot. Then you see somebody who must have been there on a regular basis because they had it systematically stacked and had like, and so we figured out how to do it, you know, you don't put the meat first, you don't like, but then I waste half of mine now. So
I got told after like my probably second or third round through that you shouldn't put the sauce like directly on it. And it just apparently just burns right away. Right. And so finally, and this was during COVID, so I was one of probably very few amounts. So they knew who I was, sadly, as I kept coming up. And so at some point they're like, hey, you know that you could just put it in a separate cup, right? And I was like, oh, all right, well, good to know for next time.
Yeah.
Round four, I'll be back.
Yeah. If you like chicken, like fried chicken or fried fish, there's a place called Country Fried Fish, maybe. You ever see, it's really kind of sketch.
I was told about it. I don't know the name, and you're sounding like you're on the right path, but yeah. Someone told me about it, so I have to go check it out. I like old wall spots.
Yeah, there's good food in Lakeland. I was just in Lakeland this weekend. I stopped and grabbed lunch on my way to the Bucks game. So
yeah.
Not bad. So who are your sports teams? You grew up in Boise, you know, kind of been around.
Yeah. So my sports teams were Boise State Broncos, easily by far and away. I was the Kellen Moore Statue of Liberty, Oklahoma game, sweet spot. Then my dad, being from Wisconsin, raised me the right way for the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, and they were always on TV, Brett Favre, everything else. So growing up, that was my jam. And then from baseball perspective, TBS, like the Mariners, I want to say they weren't very good, but they're on Fox Sports, Northwest, I think at the time. Whereas TBS was, you know, doing Braves all the time. And that was my first T-ball team too. So it was easy to just come home after school and just watch Chipper Jones and Frank Coor and John Smoltz and everybody else like that. So, that was the baseball, and then basketball was the San Antonio Spurs. My uncle lived in Edna, Texas, and he got me my dad went down and got me a Tim Duncan jersey when I was little. And so then I just kind of fell in love with what a lot of friends gave me a hard time about. I was probably the only San Antonio Spurs fan in Boise, Idaho, or at least that I knew of, because all my friends wanted to be Kobe or Shaq or
right.
You know, LeBron James. And I was like, nope, I want to be quiet Tim Duncan. That's my guy. do my job. That was it. Bank shot. Nothing pretty. Hey.
Legend, man. Legend.
Oh, yeah. I got to practice against him one time. When I was in Austin, LaMarcus Aldridge, like I was rehabbing from an injury in the preseason. And it was LaMarcus kind of going up against him, and they had all the video coordinators jump in, just his bodies. They need an extra one. And they're like, Hans, you want to jump in? I was like, yes, this is going to be a I mean, everybody that's on the basketball side and kind of within that organization, I'm sure they have stories left and right about, you know, everybody, anything. But for me, that in the little bit that I was there, that was kind of like my sneak in. It was the year after I retired. And so it was cool for me. It was a little surreal, but
yeah. That's cool. So you're still young. How old are you?
I am 29.
29, man. So you've got a long career ahead of you. What you, you've already are at, you know, the top, you know, on the G League and within the league. So what is kind of like, you know, long-term, you know, what do you have that? Like, I want to be team president of NBA team, or I want to, you know, do something else. Do you have that, that high goal that you have out there?
So I have goals for, I suppose, where I'm at, and that's kind of been my mentality and all the different, as you've seen my career jump from basketball to business to X to Y. So my main goal is, in the most competitive ways, and has been since I was with Steve in Wisconsin, was like, I want to win franchise of the year so, so bad. There's an internal award that goes out. The team that wins always, I think, publicizes it. I know Texas won this last time and that's on all their signatures, but I want to be the team that, you know, everybody looks around to, and it would not be direct correlation to me. It'd be all our team.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
And it's the marketing effort, and I definitely was not the one that was putting out those social posts or made players enjoy it. And I wasn't the one that designed the graphics, but like that department knows that they played a huge, huge hand.
Absolutely.
The big thing, and what I love, and it kind of goes a little bit into play of what you were saying too about how you can help staff get to other places, is like, I my main goal is not only from a competitive side to do franchise of the year, but to help other people climb to, like, if I was no longer here. So yeah. I'm not even predicting my next path, because I don't know. And I hope it's here for a very long time, because I enjoy the community. I enjoy the position. I love the G League. But like Steve taught me this one, it was something that I had the same mentality going up the entire way, where it was like, when I left Utah, the person that wasn't the head manager became the head manager, and he knew everything. Cause the thought was like, I get sick, I'm not going to be here, I need you to be able to run the show. And if I leave in a good or bad way, I suppose, like, I want you to be able to tell the next coach or whatever, like, you can do this. And so that's been my MO really everywhere. And I love the staffs, all the staffs that I've worked with or been around, and coworkers. And so the same would be here too, is, you know, there's people here that I know have, everybody here's got the drive, and everybody coming in, what probably moved me the most to take the gig, was the opportunity for myself. But like, when I'll say this jokingly, because I don't know if I basically told a couple of different people in the hiring process, like, are we committed to try to go for franchise of the year? Because if we are, like, that helps me be in a certain position to want to, like, because I'm competitive. I want to see.
Yeah, you gotta have that goal.
Yeah. If there's no tracking out there, and I don't need to compare myself to anybody else, not that, like, that's not healthy all the time either, but just from a competitive standpoint, you know, as long as we do the best we can do, it's like, I want to see us get a couple more internal, you know, league metric trophies and grow. And I want to be able to have, you know, our VP be a president, and have our directors be VPs, or go run whatever team, whether it's locally, whether it's in the G League, or slowly but surely. I mean, it's, you know, people take notice, and you know, if the, just throwing this out, but like, if the Pelicans are looking for a creative something, and they talk to the league, and they're like, yeah, well, there's this one crazy graphics department that's going to Lakeland, we might not have our director of marketing anymore, but that's a positive for us. Like, that's something that we, you know, I think I enjoy for sure. It's just seeing kind of the growth from within.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's one of the most rewarding things, you know, outside of, you know, seeing the smiles and the fans having a good time. It's about really, you know, developing, you know, the talent, you know, and, you know, at the minor league level that I was at, you know, a lot of times it's a lot of people right out of college or a couple of years out. So not a ton of experience. So kind of coaching them up, developing, and it's very rewarding to see. And I mean, you sound a lot like me in that competitiveness. Like, I can't play on the field or the court anymore, but in the front office, man, I want to dominate, you know, and I want to win. And not, I mean, personally, but like as an organization, and, you know, same thing, best marketing, best, you know, I want to be the top revenue, you know, producing team, you know, the, just all that stuff. And so it's kind of cool to hear that, you know, and I like seeing that, that fire, you know, in you, which is cool. So always interested in people with drive, and, you know, it's just cool to see. So as you're kind of getting back, I don't know if you've seen, but I created a segment earlier this year called Free Agent Fridays, where I would interview people who lost their jobs due to COVID.
Okay.
There's a lot of great people on there that are out of work and looking. So as you get back and are opening up positions, please let me know. Just last week I posted something on LinkedIn. I got over 1,000 messages, over 500 resumes. So there's a lot of people out there, and there's some really, really good ones. So please take a peek at them, and hopefully we can get people back to work and get teams back in that flow, hopefully this year.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it, and definitely always looking for resources and talent pools, and in any way we can help too. So yeah, I'll definitely be reaching out and figure out what opportunities might lie.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you joining me. I'm definitely, whenever you guys get back, I'm coming down for a game and check it out. And maybe we'll grab lunch at Harry's sometime.
There you go.
I like their lunch.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate you having me on, and definitely look forward to that for sure.
Hey, podcast fans, thanks for listening to today's episode of The Andrew Haynes Show. If you enjoyed it, be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions, be sure to reach out to Andrew on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time.